The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you don't believe the Creator exists, he said concerning you, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you don't believe and you think that something pleasant is going to happen when you die, you're in for a big shock. Regarding believers, he said, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" So if you believe at some level and you're not making an effort to have a relationship with Father, and you're expecting something pleasant to happen at the end of your life, you're also in for a nasty shock. If you want something, if you want your life to be worthwhile, if you want the end result of your life to be a blessing to you for eternity, you are going to have to make some sacrifices and work at it in this life. Tonight's topic, Our World Today, History, The Real Facts, Part 4. All of this in the context that the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Tonight we're looking at human spirits, which are ancestor spirits, and the demonic masterminds. In an overview, we will discuss the reality that the spirits of unbelievers become ancestor spirits or demons when they die. We will see that there's a reward for those in deep relationship. We will speak about the first unbelievers. We will see how Satan enrolled the first deceased human spirits. We will understand that the first demons recognized a power opportunity. We will discuss demonic organization. We will realize that most demons were stranded in the flood. We will learn that the ruling masterminds survived on Ham, the son of Noah. We will look at the recovery of Earth and ongoing degradation of mankind. We will realize that surviving the flood was traumatic and the Earth was a sodden, muddy mess. We will understand that the survivors had much knowledge and experience. There were rapid technology advances. We will recognize that there were three families descended from Noah. We will discover that there was a global nuclear war resulting in genetic aberrations and that this gave rise to the degenerative evolution. And we will conclude by learning that Abraham was a turnaround emissary or prophet or apostle and that there have been other turning arounds. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for about 25 years, and I'm currently a business executive in the United Kingdom. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993 when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is the program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Questions from last week's program. Renee asked, how can we gain over sin? A couple of months ago, I presented a series of talks on seven components of drawing close to the Almighty. That goes through a whole range of processes, prayers, worship, etc., that you can use to get authority over sin, to get victory over sin. It's basically a matter of taking a quality decision that you're not going to sin, coming to understand what sin really is, and then actively seeking to stop sinning. Sin is a choice. You have an opportunity in every situation to tell the truth or to lie. You have the opportunity regularly in most societies to have sex with somebody who is forbidden to you or not. You have a choice whether you worship the Almighty alone or whether you worship idols or whether you worship the Bible, whatever, whether you worship your motor car or your wife or your husband or your children. You have a choice. Once you've made that choice, you repent, you take the bread and wine, the symbols of the covenant, you rehearse the covenant with Father, you ask for forgiveness, and you do that repeatedly until you've cleaned up your life. That's how you gain victory over sin. It's not a two-minute thing. It's something that takes quite a bit of effort. Heather asks, did you say Adam caused Satan to have power? Yes. Adam had authority on earth. He gave that authority to Satan. At that time, there were billions of satanic messengers, angels, serving Satan. The human beings gave Satan the authority to deploy those messengers as he saw fit on earth and caused man to be in submission to him, and that gave Satan great power. And that continues to be the case today because the world is full of sin. So the satanic realm and the demonic realm have authority in this world and great power because Adam sinned. If Adam had not disobeyed and stayed true to Yah, Satan would not have got authority, and this world would be very, very, very different to what it is today. Levi asks, yes, we have free will, but he has almighty power. Can't he control us? Yes, he could control us if he wanted to, but that's not the point. He created us to have free will, to make decisions, to make choices, and to serve him if we chose to. That's the subject of this program. You can choose to have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator. You can get really, really close to Him. It's your choice. It's just like the sin thing. You can choose to sin or not sin. You can choose to get close to Father or not to get close to Father. He has chosen to give us that right so that He can have people in heaven who have chosen to serve Him. He wants you to be there because you've chosen, not because you're a puppet and He's forced it. Naomi asks, are you saying we need to make the choices to do better? Absolutely, Naomi, that's what I'm saying. You have to choose to live without sin. You have to choose to get close to Father. Missy asked, why did they even have a Satan? Could the Almighty not get rid the world of him? Again, yes, Father could. However, when Father was about to destroy Satan, Satan challenged him. And he wasn't Satan at that point, challenged Father to this thing called the contest to see if Satan could make the human beings all desert Father before the end of 7,000 years. And so Satan is in control on earth because Adam gave him control. And so again, like the other port, it's about choices. Father has chosen to allow Satan and allow human beings. And he wants us to take authority. We could, if we all put our minds to it, get rid of all the satanic and demonic realm on the planet within a very short space of time, if we clean up our act and pray the right prayers. Ruth asked, how can we know we're in good standing and grace? Basically, if you are in good standing, Father will tell you you're in good standing. An essential part of this is to learn to hear Father's voice clearly. When you're right with him, he will tell you you're right with him. You will know that you're right with him. Until then, you need to clean up your act. Grace is something different. Grace is given to help young believers cope and adapt. So grace is given to help you do the things I've been talking about. So we're now on to chapter 5, human spirits or ancestor spirits and the demonic masterminds. I want to start out by reiterating what I've said several times in these broadcasts. There is a reward for those in deep relationship. Father Yah's plan was that those humans who entered into close relationship with him would be rewarded on death with a high rank and a throne for eternity in heaven. Those who were rejected because they never believed in his existence would be cast into the incinerator, the lake of fire and brimstone, and utterly destroyed. Satan's challenge changed this so that the rejects remain on earth till the end of the contest, and if Satan wins the contest, on earth for eternity. As I've stated several times before, there are various ranks in heaven. Firstly, friends. Those who are friends to Yah in this life, Yah being the true name of the Almighty Creator, sit on the highest thrones close to Yeshua, Yeshua being the true name of the man you may know as Jesus. That is a place of great status, as great authority, great esteem. Overcomers also sit on thrones, but not the highest thrones. Also high esteem, great authority, just not quite as much as the friends. Good and faithful servants, not on thrones, but towards the front of the throne room. And those are people who've put in a real effort to serve Father in this life. Wise stewards, further removed from the thrones, still in the throne room, filled with the spirit of Yah, but they've only performed limited service to Father. So that's kind of the minimum that you want to end up, folks. You don't want to be in the categories that I'm going to talk about in a minute. You want to be, hopefully, a friend. That's what you're created for, is to be a friend, to get close to Father in this life, to serve him in this life, bring him joy in this life, have him participate in every aspect of your life. You really need to be qualified to be one of these four categories. Otherwise, you're going to regret it for the rest of eternity. Carrying on with the categories in heaven, the adulterous wives, those who are filled with the Spirit but in serious sin, especially many Jesus worshippers and Bible worshippers, will end up here. The foolish virgins, those who believed but never received an infilling of the set apart or Holy Spirit of Yah, mostly because it did not know it was possible or did not believe in it. Most traditional Christians, most Muslims, and most Jews will end up here. Note that it is possible to get filled with the Spirit without knowing it is possible, and that it is possible for someone who's not filled with the Spirit to qualify for one of the higher ranks, but it is much more difficult to get there without the infilling of the Spirit. Those sentenced to eternity in the outer darkness is the seventh category, the trash heap of heaven. Those who believed but then continued to live as though they were unbelievers and never served Father Yah at all. A very large number of those who are products of Christian outreach and missionary activity will end up here. Please note there are penalties in judgment if you produce people like this. So if you're a pastor or a prophet or an evangelist or a whatever who goes around, or an imam or a rabbi or a guru or whatever, and you bring people to some level of conversion to belief in the Almighty, but you don't equip them to get close to the Almighty, understand the Almighty is seriously not impressed with you. that will completely discount whatever good works you may have done. Let's talk a bit about the first unbelievers. Within a few generations of Adam, men and women were born who did not believe, and who, when they died, became the first ancestor spirits or demons, taking orders from Satan. Now, this is really important to understand, folks. When Father designed this whole, call it an experiment for want of a better word, he did not expect there to be unbelievers. He did not expect pretty much everything that's happened in the last 6,016 years to happen. Satan was a massive design error. And as a consequence, there was no provision for the spirits of people who died in unbelief. Under the original design, such people would have been cast into the lake of fire and utterly destroyed. Suddenly, because of the challenge from Satan, this was not possible. And so today there are over 100 billion human spirits scattered around the earth, some as demons on people, some in graves, some in the rocks, all over the place. Horrible state to be in. You don't want to die as an unbeliever. It's really not a nice thing at all. Satan enrolls deceased human spirits. Satan quickly realized that these highly intelligent and highly knowledgeable human spirits were a very powerful resource, and he set about working with them to determine how best to mobilize them in his hate campaign against Yah. This campaign being directed at ensuring that there were no believers in right standing with Yah by the end of the 6,000 years after creation, and failing that by the end of the 7,000 years that will mark the end of the contest in around May 3003, which will be the Day of Judgment. So Satan found himself with all these human spirits, well, not all of them, with some human spirits. They were totally within his control. They were very powerful human spirits, but they had no way of getting around unless they were carried around by a messenger angel or put on another human being or an animal. And they pretty much had to do what Satan told them to do. And some of them very quickly realized that if they played Satan's games by his rules and played along with him and helped him to build power and authority, they would get a whole lot of power back. And so that's what they did. They were given control of other demons. And so the whole power structure on earth is controlled by seven demonic masterminds, each of which has a huge collection of principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions under them, seeking to destroy the believers, seeking to make sure that there are no true believers on earth at the end of the millennium. These first demons recognized a power opportunity. They recognized that the opportunity to presented to the by them being the first demons, and set about applying their considerable knowledge and experience to understand how to gain power and authority by supporting Satan in his evil quest. Think about it. What would you do as a human being if you die as an unbeliever, you find there you are, you're stuck on your corpse, and a messenger from Satan, an angel from Satan, comes along, picks you up, takes you to Satan's throne room in inverted commas, and there the leaders say to you, if you will serve Satan faithfully, if you will do everything he tells you to do, we will give you great power and authority. Otherwise, you can go back to your corpse. So when you're faced with the choice of being a powerful demon and being put on your corpse in your grave for the rest of eternity, I think you're going to choose to serve Satan. And so over the centuries, over the millennia, over 100 billion people have died as unbelievers, and some of them have really climbed in and sought to serve Satan energetically, and therefore been given control over huge numbers of other demons, over huge numbers of satanic messengers, angels. Folks, it's a very, very different scenario to what you've probably been taught. And the problem is that neither Yah nor Satan can tell us anything about these things unless we do the necessary fasting and praying to seek truth. So let's talk a bit about the demonic organization that came into existence. They organized themselves as they had when alive, with governments, committees, etc. Those bodies were reconstituted after the flood. There are similar ranks in the demonic realm in the kingdom of Satan to those that I've just talked about with regard to the kingdom of Yah. So at the top, we have the council of ruling masterminds who report directly to Satan, or reported directly to Satan until Satan was sent to the pit for 1,000 years in 2003. This council of masterminds today rule the earth in Satan's absence very powerfully and very effectively, such that many of the activities that attract so much attention from conspiracy theories, such as the New World Order, are, in fact, being instigated and driven by the Council of Masterminds, and not by living human beings. The living human beings are just pawns in this power play. This junta rules the earth today. Folks, this is so important. It's possible to look around the earth and say, this is wrong, that's wrong, this looks like a conspiracy, that looks like... If you look at the human beings, they're just pawns. They've got demons, they're crawling with demons. They are mouthpieces for the demons. The demons are operating under close supervision from the top, from the council that we're talking about. And they've got an agenda that the human beings, for the most part, don't understand. So don't get stuck in what the other human beings are doing. Deal with the spiritual thing. That's what we're called to have authority over. Important to understand that the incumbents, the Committee of Council of Masterminds, the Junta, have thousands, as in close to 6,000 years of practice, and they guard their positions jealously and violently, with huge numbers of committed supporters in a power-fear structure. The masterminds today include Baal, Molech, Ashtaroth, a demon called Jesus, a demon called God, a demon called the Lord, and a demon called Christ. Prayers to these last four names are no longer answered by Yah as an act of grace, which was done up until 2003, but they're answered by the principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions that muster in under each of the corresponding masterminds. So if you are praying to God and you say, oh God, please help me, you get a demon that belongs to the structure of God, the demon, the mastermind, God. So if you say, Jesus, help me, you will get at least one demon from the structure called Jesus. And if you keep doing it, you'll get more and more demons. And they will answer your prayers in supernatural ways sometimes. That's why the world at the moment is full of false miracles. It's why so many powerful men and women who were serving Yah faithfully in the 90s, even into the 2000s, have fallen away totally, because the demons have taken over and taken them completely out of line. Very important to know these things. Very important to use the right names. Very important to be really careful about what you say and do. The next category of rank in the demonic organization are the illuminated ones. They were highly committed to Satan as a Satanist, witch, warlock, etc. in this life. They were filled with demons. They perpetrated many human sacrifices and other extreme evil in order to win favor with Satan and the masterminds. They will be rewarded with a position of considerable evil power in support of the masterminds. When they were alive, they invited demons to live in them and control them, hence the term illuminated. Contrast this with anointed being a person filled with the spirit of the Almighty Creator. Really important to understand this. Folks, if you want a high rank in the satanic realm, you better get out there and be really, really terrible and wicked and ugly and kill people and eat human flesh and lie and steal and cheat and get yourself filled with demons and et cetera, et cetera. You don't want to go there, folks, but there are people who do go there. I've seen some of them. And then you get the foot soldiers, which is the next rank in the demonic hierarchy. Moderately successful in sinning, led many others into sin, had some sort of relationship with the demonic and satanic realm, gives them a position of some authority and esteem in the satanic sense. Important to understand the power and the authority we're talking about here relates to the number of people under control, the number of people in submission. So the more you move up this hierarchy, the more people you have under your control, the more demons you have under control, and also the human beings that those demons control. The next level are the pretenders. They were into sin. They denied the Creator, but they never really did very much for Satan. They're largely disregarded in the satanic realm. They will be used for low-level assignments to low-level people on Earth. Remember that they will be one of over 100 billion ancestor spirits at the time they die. Folks, you don't want to be there either. Not a good place to be. And then we get the kingdom of the white witches, the good fairies or good demons. Please note that a fairy is a demon. They live. It's just a simple example of how the forces of darkness try and dress things up. So we get these pictures of pretty fairies with wings and what have you, answering, giving spells and answering commands, etc. It's just a smokescreen for demons. If you believe in fairies, you believe in demons and you give yourself over to demons. So these good fairies, these good demons lived a good life. They sort of thought there might be a God, but they never truly believed and they never thought it important. They may have been well educated, done all sorts of good works. They might even have gone to church regularly, but they never had a deep revelation of the existence of the Creator. Not really committed any major sin, and therefore no real use to the kingdom of Satan. So the satanic and demonic will largely leave them alone in some lonely location, such as a graveyard, to be a good ghost, unless a white witch thinks she can use them in her witchcraft, using the satanic and demonic realm to attempt to do good. Folks, it's a huge deception. You can be as good as you like, but if you don't believe, you will end up as a demon. And it's not a good place to be. Coming back to the flood that we spoke about last week, it's important to realize that most demons were stranded in the flood. So Noah and his family were on the boat. Only Noah and Shem and their wives were believers. The others were not believers. And everybody else on the planet were unbelievers. They all died in the flood. Their spirits immediately became ancestor spirits. There was no angels, etc., to go and carry them around. So the corpse was tossed in the waves, or it got buried under tons of material that was compressed and became rock. So scattered around the planet, some at great depths, are the spirits of the human beings who died in the flood. Others ended up in the oceans. The corpses were eaten by sharks and what have you. The spirit ended up on the shark and the shark died and another shark somehow got the spirit. And so they're lying on the bottom of the ocean or they're riding on the back of a shark or some other fish or whatever. Folks, you don't want to take the risk of being an ancestor spirit, a demon. It's just a really ugly place to be. This is far worse than most people have been told. It's really not a good place to be. And so even today, these demons are sort of being picked up and found and dug up and excavated. And it's just really, really tragic when they could have been in heaven on high thrones, great esteem, great authority, great beauty. That's where you want to be, folks. Still with the flood, the ruling mastermind survived the flood on Ham. Just before the flood started, the seven masterminds that I've mentioned realized what was happening. And just before the flood, they managed to attach themselves to Ham, Noah's younger son, who was an unbeliever and ancestor worshiper. So they survived the flood such that the demonic realm got a jump start after the flood. So just think about it. Father went to all that trouble to wipe out the unbelievers, and the seven most powerful demons got a free ride through the flood on Noah's unbelieving son, ancestor-worshipping son Ham, because Noah insisted that Yah should save Ham. Yah deeply regrets allowing Ham and Japheth and their wives to survive the flood. And today he asks that we should not ask special favors of him with regard to our unbelieving children and families. So important. It's so easy to get stuck on asking Father for things for unbelieving families or children, or even if they're believing. Don't ask for special favors. The reason that there was almost nobody available to send Satan to the pit in 2003 was because Noah had prevailed on Yah that a firstborn child through his son Gershom should have the honors. By the time I was called to do that, I was just about the last one left, and Father was, as he told me, scraping the bottom of the barrel. So again, the key lesson is that Father desires a deep personal relationship with you and everybody else on the planet, but let's focus on you right now. He desires that you should strive to become his friend and qualify for a high throne when you cease to live on earth. Folks, get your own life right first. Once you've got your life right, you can start thinking about getting the lives of your children and brothers and sisters and parents, etc., right. It's a long slog to really get close to Father, and it's really worth it if you'll go for it. So let's move on to chapter 6, the recovery of Earth and the ongoing degeneration of mankind. So it's important to realize that surviving the flood was traumatic. The world was a sodden, muddy mess. Imagine that So surviving the flood was traumatic. The boat was tossed in every direction, and there were significant injuries, even though the occupants were strapped down and in a deep sleep induced by the spirit of Yah. After the earth expanded and the waters subsided to form the oceans, the earth was a sodden, muddy mess of massively disrupted deposits with water everywhere, heavy cloud, and much rain. It took centuries for a reasonably equitable environment to develop. Global drying and warming today is in part a manifestation of the ongoing draining of residual deposits of water from the flood from the land. So important to understand, folks. Global warming is a consequence of the flood. It's got absolutely nothing to do with carbon dioxide and all these other stories about things that are causing the heating up. The planet is still drying out, and therefore it's getting warmer. It's as simple as that. And we can do all we in our pitiful, weak state think to do to cut back on the production of carbon dioxide, and it will have absolutely zero effect. We can plant the whole planet with trees. We can wipe out all the people. We can go back to sort of survival existence, no fires, nothing. It won't make a shred of difference to global warming. It's going to get warming, and there is absolutely nothing that mankind can do about it. Get close to Father, learn how to cope with it. That's the deal. There was much knowledge and experience brought through the flood by Noah and his family. The survivors had brought with them a very substantial library of technical literature and much knowledge and experience. They were also of great stature. Noah was 18 feet or 6 meters tall and of great intellect. We were literally created at the beginning with massive intellect in the likeness of the Almighty. So in a short space of time, advanced centers of civilization started to spring up. So the people survived the flood, came out of the boat, muddy mess, started to plant crops and all sorts of things. And just imagine the first years must have been very, very difficult, very much survival. They brought with them seeds of agricultural products. So they had to plant wheat and corn and barley and fruit trees and so on and so forth. But it took years for those things, well, it took months for the first grain crops, and they needed to keep most of that for seed, and years for the fruit trees. Really, really difficult, folks. The stories that we read about the flood, etc., just don't do justice to how really terrible it was. We see that there are three families from Noah. The three sons of Noah brought with them three distinctly different spiritual and physical dispensations. The children of Shem clung closely to the religion of their fathers, Shem and Noah, and became the people of the Middle East, Europe, and India. They were highly inventive and adopted a culture of justice, right versus wrong. That's Father's way. The children of Japheth were agnostic and idolatrous, but not ancestor worshippers. They were of lesser physical stature, although highly intelligent. They were also inventive and highly disciplined, and adopted a culture of honor versus shame. These are the people of the Far East, China, Japan, Korea, etc. The children of Ham, the youngest son, sank into full-blown ancestor or demon worship and degenerated to become the people of Africa. They adopted a culture of power versus fear. Those three families are still clearly visible on the earth. Having said that, today there are people who are counter to this trend by virtue of cross-fertilization by people of Shem and Japheth. So today, because of cross-breeding, there are counter-trends in all population groups. So there are people who look African who are actually children of Shem, because the father, some generations ago, was a Shemite, an Israelite, whatever. And so there are powerful servants arising in Africa, as there are powerful servants arising in the Far East. You can't tell anything now based on the tribe, the culture, the country, the whatever of any human being. You don't know the spiritual legacy that they come from. You don't know who's blessing them. You don't know what blessings are on them. You don't know what curses are on them. Do not judge people by their race, by their skin color, by their physical appearance. Don't judge people at all unless Father clearly tells you something. And in my experience, he's not in the habit of doing that unless you get to be a place of really close to him. And even then, he doesn't do that often. Then there was a global nuclear war, which gave rise to genetic aberrations. Some hundreds of years after the flood, there was a global nuclear war and many civilizations were wiped out. The resultant nuclear contamination resulted in aberrant genetic malformation, which gave rise to the cave-dwelling semi-human remains, like Mrs. Pless, that have been found in certain parts of the world. These are not a missing link in evolutionary development. So much confusion about this, folks. People assume a steady state history. Not the case. Massive disruption with the flood, massive disruption with the global nuclear war, genetic corruption because of exposure to radioactivity. We are the inheritors of a genesis of messed up people. We are a messed up people. We are nowhere close to what we were created to be. If you want to get back to what you were created to be, get close to Father, and in the life to come, you will get back to that state. It's not going to happen otherwise. You want to be close to Father, folks. The alternatives are really too ghastly to contemplate. So we then move into what you could call degenerative evolution. As noted before, Noah and his family were of great stature. They were giants by today's standards, both physically and intellectually. As a consequence of the reduced gravitational forces consequent on the expansion of the Earth, and as a consequence of general spiritual degradation, mankind has devolved, in other words, degenerative evolution, from the great stature and intellect of Adam and even Noah to what we have today. In the years immediately following the flood, the high level of radioactive material ejected from the core of the earth through volcanoes, lava flows, and granite upwellings resulted in a level of limited mutation, such that while there was only one form of cat on the survival vessel, we now have a range of cats in different parts of the world, lions, tigers, panthers, leopards, etc. The same applies to other animals and to plants. There has been massive evolutionary development since the flood, albeit in a degenerative sense. This again is so important to understand. There is a huge amount of truth in the theory of evolution. It's just going in the wrong direction. We've been evolving negatively, degrading, getting weaker. We are not the most powerful generation that has ever lived. We are the most decrepit, messed up, corrupt generation that has ever lived. And it's going to get worse. Father is progressively being excluded from the government of the nations, from the vast majority of people, the unbelievers. We're heading for another dark ages unless there is a massive turning around in the near future. Post the flood, we get to Abraham, who was a turnaround emissary or turnaround prophet, and subsequent other turnarounds. By the time of Abraham, there were again almost no people truly serving Yah. Abraham initiated a turning around, which propagated through Ishmael and Islam, and Yaakov, Israel, and Moshe, Moses, and David, through to Yahushua, Jesus, and Muhammad, each one of which initiated a turnaround of different levels of intensity. Martin Luther also initiated a turnaround, bringing an end to the Dark Ages and initiating a global, major global renaissance. It is vital to understand that the prosperity we enjoy today, coupled with ever-increasing levels of comfort and advanced technology, is a direct consequence of large numbers of people turning back to Father Yah, with invention and prosperity being a direct result of the blessings associated with serving him. And this is the Renaissance, the recovery from the Dark Ages, post-Martin Luther, the spread of Christianity. Amazing things have happened. But they've happened because Yah, the Almighty Creator, has led them, driven them, inspired people, taught people, given people wisdom. And now everybody's turning their backs on him. How do we think we're going to continue in what we have today by totally excluding Father. It's crazy. It just doesn't make any sense at all once you understand these things. So that's it for tonight. To recap, we've been looking at human spirits, ancestor spirits, and the demonic masterminds. To recap, we discussed the reality that the spirits of unbelievers become ancestor spirits or demons when they die. We saw that there is a reward for those in deep relationship. We spoke about the first unbelievers. We saw how Satan enrolled the deceased human spirits. We understood that the first demons recognized a power opportunity. We discussed demonic organization. We realized that most demons were stranded in the flood. We learned that the ruling masterminds survived on Ham. We looked at the recovery of Earth and ongoing degradation of mankind. We realized that surviving the flood was traumatic and that the Earth was a sodden, muddy mess after the flood. We understood that the survivors had much knowledge and experience. There were rapid technology advances. We recognized that there were three families descended from Noah, and we discovered that there had been a global nuclear war resulting in genetic aberrations, which gave rise to degenerative evolution. We concluded by learning that Abraham was a turnaround emissary and that there have been other turnings around. And there's another turning around that has just started. Whether it will be sustained and endure remains to be seen. I'm working hard as best I can to make that happen. I've just published my books, 15 volumes of my writings over the last 20 odd years. There are a few copies available. If you would like a set, please contact me. Otherwise, the electronic copies are available on the website. So, five key documents that you might want to refer to. They're all main menu web pages. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you near the bottom of the menu. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, also near the bottom of the menu. Folks, if you're serious about serving Father, this is a must read. Read it and apply everything that you find in that document. It was written under a significant anointing, significant level of inspiration. Recommended worship near the bottom of the menu. Songs that are strongly recommended, they're there to download. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self, existing at the top of the menu. So important to understand his name and how his name is interleaved with the names of people throughout history. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? These ones that I've just spoken about have all been the subjects of this broadcast over the last nearly a year. They're all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcript of nearly all the teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then on podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. In saying all of this, I really want to stress to you, if you're listening to me and saying, I can't do that, I can't become a friend of the Creator, how will I do that? This is just me. Folks, He wants that far more than you do. And He will come to meet you wherever you are the moment that you commit yourself to seeking to become His friend. Just a simple prayer like, Father, James Robertson says it's possible for me to become your friend. I want to become your friend. Please help me. Then go to the website. There's a huge amount of material. There's about 1,000 web pages. There's well over 1,000 articles. Books, download the books, read the books, apply the books. Doesn't matter what your race is or your color or your level of education or your wealth. I urge you to do it, folks. The reward is huge, magnificent, fabulous, far greater than you can imagine. Thank you so much. Good night. Father, I